ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Let me share Psalm 36, verses 1 through 4 with you. See how this has played out. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes, when he finds out his iniquity and what he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. The actions that are manifested in their lives are not a result of anything but this. There is no fear of God before his eyes. And apart from God, we do our own thing. We do what makes us feel good. We do what we think is right. There is a way that seems right to man, but it's a way of destruction for him. There's the problem. God knows the way we need to take. Man doesn't. And without a plumb line, guys, your walk is all over the place. It's off. I want to share this with you. It's about a heartbroken person. And the reason this person is so heartbroken is what they see happening in America. And again, this is from 2019, so very recently. I was raised to have manners to say please and thank you and to always show respect to my elders, whether I knew them or not. That's what my parents and grandparents taught us. We were also taught to be law-abiding citizens. So what happened here in America? The lack of respect is an ongoing problem everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go. You see it in public places like stores, restaurants, parks, and on our busy highways. What is even more disturbing is the lack of respect given to our men in blue or police officers, law enforcement. Again, Facebook, I don't know if you've seen it. This old man, probably 70, 80 years old, was just walking in a store. Not bothering anyone, he was walking down an aisle. This black man came up, and this is on security footage, and smacked him to the ground and beat on him. He didn't even see it coming. The guy hit him from behind. Why? I don't care what this guy did. He didn't do anything. But what if he did something? What if he cut in front of him in line or something? So what? So what? Goes on, I'm in utter shock that people have no problem killing officers today. It's a sad state of affairs. Where did this element of people come from? It feels as if something worse is on the horizon, though I'm not sure what. Maybe they should pull violent video games off the shelves because it's clearly out of control. People are becoming so desensitized, it's alarming. Recently, two officers were killed in the same day in Wisconsin, different incidents. Today, I was reading about another officer that died when responding to a store robbery in St. Louis, Missouri. What I found so disturbing was that the clerk actually streamed his death while on the ground on Facebook. What the blank was that about? She should be fired. Before the officer's family could be notified, it was on live streaming, and he took his last breath. So instead of helping this police officer who is dying or calling 911, she's filming it to put it on Facebook with no care that maybe his family would see it. Wow, what has happened? I grieve over America. I realize we're not here to save a nation. We're to bring the gospel to a lost and dying generation and people. But I grieve over what I see happening. Says, I'm so deeply saddened and sick at society's behavior. Talk about lacking respect. Every single day that these men and women put on their uniforms, they know there's a chance that something bad will happen. But they do it to keep us safe. Like our veterans have and those currently serving, they all deserve respect. Last year, someone from our church brought over some cake over to the police officers and some bookmarks for them, just to say, hey, we love you guys and we appreciate the work you're doing. They were so thankful because of all the bad things that are out there. Someone is actually saying, thank you for doing your job. When I see an elderly or disabled person walking towards a door or trying to cross a street, I show them respect and help them. That's what everyone should do, but it doesn't happen. I respect the illegal immigrants that file their papers and try to do it the right way when entering America. I do not respect those that barge through and feel entitled regardless of what our laws say. This is a problem within our society. If people don't respect the law and we let everyone stay, what does that say? We need to uphold law and order, but instead, some look the other way. Where are the morals and values, America? Like the clerk that streamed the officer's death. She might have been able to save his life, but oh no, she streamed it instead while watching over him. We cannot have that kind of behavior in our world. It's not okay. For what it's worth, parents, please teach your children to be respectful while teaching them that there are consequences when not following the rules. Just like the laws we have in place, choose to make a difference. It may save a life. Can we have respect for people apart from God? Well, in a sense, we can. Let me explain that for a second. God has built into our consciousness the knowledge of what's right or wrong and wrong. Even if we don't know God, that's there. Well, then why don't we see that today? Here's the problem. We've hardened ourselves so much to God that our hearts have been calloused and we have no more feeling of what's right or wrong. We only do what we think is right. We're none to what God is saying. And all this behavior we're seeing, this lack of respect, this lawlessness, is a result of, hear me out, self-love or selfishness. It's all about us today. Well, wasn't that about Samson? Get her for me. She pleases me. It's all about me. I don't care what you guys think. I don't care what God thinks. She pleases me. We've looked at these verses before, but I think we see this unfolding today right before our eyes. What Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of themselves. Now, as you read that, there's some 19 general characteristics of man. A time of social disintegration. The wickedness of man's heart manifested in his actions. And Paul says that these things will climax in the last days or in the days we're living in now. And we see it happening right before our eyes. You know, the prophecy conference, the title of it was In the Days of Noah. Well, go read in Genesis 6 what the days of Noah was like. Violence in the land. Man's thoughts and intents of his heart were continually evil, or on a daily basis, continually, all day long, evil. That's where we're at. Because Jesus said that the last days will be like the days of Noah. And we're seeing it. Perilous times, times of stress. Because of all this evil. And I think the key for all of those characteristics is the first one, lovers of themselves. And it's out of that that we see all these other things. We see a lust for money. We see, you know, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedience of parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, and so on. What is that all based from? It's based from me loving myself so much I want all these things. And I'll get them any way that I can. Think about it. You know, we've got all this turmoil now. We've got a Marxist socialist organization, Black Lives Matter. Christians are joining forces with them. What's the matter with you? Come on. We want unity. Right? We want unity. We want everyone to come together and be one, right? And what does the National Football League have? Oh, we have the national anthem and then we have the black national anthem. What have you just done? You have just divided us up into two different people. We're not. We have the same blood. We are human beings. I don't care what shade your skin is. I'm sorry, some of you are fair-skinned, but none of you are white. Maybe an albino is probably the closest person to being white, but all of us have some color to us. Even my poor wife here, who doesn't go in the sun, as pale as she looks, she's not white. So what are we fighting over? We are the same. Are there injustices? Absolutely. Every person on this earth can be taken advantage of. Bad things can happen. But now we're dividing ourselves up more instead of coming together. And how sad. It's all about me now. Do you really think those protesters cared anything about black lives? Absolutely not. Do you know how many black babies are aborted every year? If Black Lives Matter, they would be at every abortion clinic protesting, saying, stop killing our children. But they're not. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to get loud here. But it irritates me because it doesn't. Black lives don't matter to them. It's all about their cause. And I hate to tell you, their cause is Marxism. Go read their website. Go read what they're all about. And you'll see it. These are just things of the flesh, guys. And I guess, how does this even relate to us? If we're fighting with others, if we're mad at others, nasty to others, if it's all about me, then the problem is you. And you need to repent and get right with God. You need to get your relationship with Him right. What do you mean my relationship with God is off? If you're having a problem with people, then there's something wrong with your relationship with God. How can I say that? Well, take a look at just the Ten Commandments. What are the first four commandments all about? Oh, they're about our relationship with God, right? That's first and foremost. What are the next six commandments about? Our relationship with each other, with fellow man. But if you don't get those first four right, if your relationship with God is not right, then this is going to be affected every single time. People don't understand that. We as Christians need to understand that. We will never be able to love as God desires apart from us surrendering our life to Him, following Him. For Samson, his relationship with God was off, and it made his relationship with others, and specifically here, his parents, off as well. He didn't show them respect. Now, not a great way for Samson to start, but our last point is God is still working in spite of us. And look at verse 4 here in Judges 14. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now, that's kind of interesting, right? What is that about? God was going to judge the Philistines, and thus his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines? Does that mean Samson was right in what he did? What his parents did by allowing Samson to marry this woman, that was okay? It says it was of the Lord. God didn't make Samson go down to Timnah. God did not make Samson marry this Philistine woman. The reason I can say that with such certainty is that God never goes against his word. Never. No one gets special dispensation. It's God's word, and it's unchanging. And God holds his word above his name. So if God's word, we can't trust it, or we're not going to adhere to it, we don't believe it, we're negating the God we serve. Then his name is everything of who he is. It's the totality of God. So if God honors his word above his name, then his name is worthless. That means God's worthless. Do you see how important it is to trust what God has said in his word? And this is really in Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Wow. How important that is. So God told the children of Israel, stay away from the Gentiles. Don't go down and make alliances with them. Don't marry them. And God's not going to go back on his word. Well, then what's going on with Samson here? God used the sin of Samson for good and he's going to kill some Philistines. But it doesn't justify his actions. God can take and use evil, the evil of men, for his plans and purposes. But I wonder what God can do to those who are obedient to him. I wonder if Samson could have delivered the children of Israel from the Philistines if he was walking with God. Now, you may wonder, how can God take the evil that someone does and use it for good, or the evil we do and use it for good? Look at the story of Joseph. It's an amazing example in the book of Genesis. His brothers hated him. They envied him. They were going to kill him, but instead they threw him into a pit until some slave traders came by, and they sold him to the slave traders. The slave traders went down to Egypt. They sold him to Potiphar. Potiphar put Joseph in charge of his house. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph. He fled naked out of the house as he grabbed his robe. And then when Potiphar came home, his wife said, "Hey, he tried to rape me. That circumcised Jew tried to rape me." And Potiphar was the head of the prison there in Egypt. And guess what? And here's the thing. If Potiphar believed his wife, Joseph would have been dead. I think Potiphar understood his wife, that she played around. But he had to save face, and he throws Joseph in prison. In prison, there's the butler and baker. They have some dreams. Joseph interprets them for him. One of them is put to death, the baker. The other one is released, just as Joseph interprets their dreams. And Joseph said to the baker, "Hey, when you get out, remember me before Pharaoh, because I didn't do anything wrong. I shouldn't be in here." Time passed by. He didn't remember until Pharaoh had a dream and no one could interpret it. And then the butler goes, "Oh yeah, there's a guy in prison who could do this." Here's the thing. Joseph's brothers meant this for evil. They hated Joseph. They wanted to destroy him, right? And after the whole family is down in Egypt now because of the famine, and you could read of this in the end of Genesis there, Joseph's brothers are fearful of Joseph because they think, "Oh no, Dad's dead. Joseph's going to kill us." These guys felt guilty. But in Genesis 50, verses 19 and 20, we're told that Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as you, for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people of life." Wow. That's an amazing statement by Joseph. Joseph's brothers, if they never sell him to the Midianites, then Joseph never goes to Egypt. If he never goes to Egypt, he's never sold to Potiphar. If he's never sold to Potiphar, Potiphar's wife will never falsely accuse him of rape. If Potiphar's wife never falsely accuses him of rape, then he's never put in prison. You know, you think about Joseph. This is totally unfair. All these things are happening to me, right? But notice the sequence of events here. If he's never put in prison, he never meets the baker and butler of Pharaoh. If he never meets the baker and butler of Pharaoh, he never interprets their dreams. If he never interprets their dreams, he never gets to interpret Pharaoh's dream. If he never gets to interpret Pharaoh's dream, he never is made prime minister. If he never is made prime minister, he never wisely administrates for the severe famine coming upon the region. If he never wisely administrates for the severe famine coming upon the region, then his family back in Canaan perishes from the famine. If his family back in Canaan perishes from the famine, the Messiah can't come forth from a dead family. If the Messiah can't come forth, then Jesus never came. If Jesus never came, then you are dead in your sins and without hope in this world. Here's the thing. They meant it for evil. What they did to their brother Joseph, God used it for good. And I think that's what we really see here with Samson. Samson is doing evil. God is going to make some good out of it. He could have done more. But Samson was doing evil. He's doing his own thing. He was not only disrespectful to God, but also to his parents, as I've said. And God was going to use it for good. He's going to destroy some Philistines. Well, how does this apply to us today? Well, we can try and justify our actions, make them sound so good, and they're not if they're not of God. If we go against what his word says, I'll give you an example. I don't mean to pick on my wife, but I will. When I met Julie, I was not a Christian. I was an evolutionist. That was my religion. Not that I thought it was a religion back then. And Julie was a Christian. We met, we fell in love. I saw no problem with this. And Julie, she thought, because I was such a nice guy that I was a Christian, I just didn't know I was a Christian. I don't know how that works, but she justified her relationship with me based on a false idea. I wasn't a Christian. And we got married, and it, probably some 3 years after we got married that I became a Christian. But during those years, we didn't go to church. I was hampering her relationship with God. We were unequally yoked. And I was pulling her in the wrong direction, even though I didn't know it. And it wasn't good. And yet God was gracious. Yeah, he was merciful and to Julie. And I did come to know the Lord. But that's not what happens most of the time. Don't try to justify marrying or dating a non-Christian with the idea some good will come out of it. There's not missionary dating. Okay, there's no such thing in the Bible. Years ago, Pastor Chuck from Calvary Chapel at Costa Mesa shared all the counseling sessions that they had to do because people were unequally yoked. They got married, Christian and non-Christian. And it was devastating. Because after they were married, the non-Christian didn't want to have anything to do with going to church or anything like that. We got to be careful. Let me just share this with Warren Wiersbe, and then I'll wrap this up. The Lord had given Samson a godly heritage, and he had been raised to honor the Lord. But when Samson fell in love, he wouldn't listen to his parents when they warned him. Samson had wandered 4 miles into enemy territory where he was captivated by a Philistine woman and decided to marry her. This, of course, was contrary to God's law. Samson was living by sight and not by faith. He was controlled by the lust of the eyes rather than by the law of the Lord. The important thing to Samson was not pleasing the Lord or even pleasing his parents, but pleasing himself. When God isn't permitted to rule in our lives, he overrules and works out his will in spite of our decisions. Of course, we're the losers for rebelling against him, but God will accomplish his purpose either with us or in spite of us. Samson should have been going to a war instead of a wedding. But God used this event to give Samson an occasion to attack the enemy. Because of this event, Samson killed 30 men, burned up the enemy's crops, slaughtered a great number of Philistines, slew 1,000 men. Samson hadn't planned these things, but God worked them out just the same. You know, this is important for us to understand. With this no respect for God, that vertical access, we're going to do contrary to what God has said in his word when that happens. He's disobeying the Lord, not respecting him. And the only solution is to repent and get right with the Lord, obeying his will. And we saw how not respecting the Lord, having our relationship off with the Lord leads to no respect for parents, and really it leads to no respect to anyone. You don't care, it's all about you. I'll tell you what, put God first, put Jesus first, others, and then yourself, and you will have the greatest joy in your life. You see, Jesus, others, you, joy, that perspective. And lastly, we saw that even with Samson not walking with the Lord, not respecting others, God was still working in spite of Samson. Don't use that as a loophole to disobey the Lord, to treat others without respect. Yes, our God is gracious, and his plans, his purposes will come to pass in spite of what we do or don't do. But man, how much better to walk with the Lord, treat people with respect, and see the blessings that God will bring in and through our lives, right? Let's pray. Oh, Father, just some hard lessons here. And we see this being portrayed in our nation in a powerful way. This nation has turned so far from the Lord. And not respecting you has left us with no respect for others. The violence, the things that are being done and said. Lord, I just, on Facebook, someone had posted, so angry, all this negative stuff about, oh, if you don't wear a mask, you should die. You should die slowly and all this harsh stuff. And then she says, and I'm so for peace. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? But that's how people think apart from you. Lord, help us to have that kind of love for people that just loves and loves like you do, that loves you, respects you, obeys you, will love others and respect others, and see the work you'll do in us and through us, destroying the enemy. And the way we destroy an enemy is by bringing them into the faith. Give us that boldness, Lord, to be a witness of you wherever we go. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.